Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
865, we out here. Talk sports. John Reed, Cody McClure, Fox Sports Knoxville, and...
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
Talk sports.
John Reed give you what you asked for. We got Cody on the MIC, RIP to Reggie White, Fox Sports Knoxville booming through the satellite. AM, PM on your lunch break. Talk sports through a hurricane or an earthquake. It's the 865 till the death of us. Tune in to Talk Sports like the rest of us. Talk sports.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Cody McClure, hour two headlines. Collision course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The Patriots have banned a fan who threw beer on Chiefs Tyreek Hill. He has a disorderly conduct charge pending. There, you saw the video of when Tyreek Hill sprinted through the end zone and toward the stand, and a male fan threw his $12 beer on Tyreek Hill, which, number one, is a big waste of money and a dumb thing to do. Although Tyreek Hill, did it look to you like he was kind of trying to
mess with
them a little?
He was taunting them.
Straight through the end zone.
Yeah, no, he had just ran a really long touchdown, and he had been pretty much unguardable in that second half. No, I'm sure Tyreek Hill was talking to them.
I feel like if you taunt them, you kind of get what's coming. Like, you remember Bo Scarborough.
I don't feel like that gives you a. I don't feel like that gives you a free pass to throw things at people.
I'm not saying you should throw beer on a player. I'm just saying if
kind of what you said.
Well, if a player comes and taunts you, and he's right in front of you, and like. Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but, like, I'm not going to completely condemn the guy. You remember Bo Scarborough when he taunted us and they were beating our ass in Neyland?
Yeah.
What was that, 2016, right?
I remember it well.
49-10.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, you know, talking noise in the end zone. I'm like, if a student had thrown a beer at him, I think we'd be okay with it. As Tennessee fans, if a Tennessee student threw his beer on Bo Scarborough, I think we would be like, yeah, good for him.
I was getting ready to give Alabama fans credit for not throwing some at Rashawn Golden. I mean, I know they don't have beer down in Tuscaloosa because, you know, dry campus and SEC doesn't allow you and all that. But
yeah, nobody sure in the stadium's like drinking for sure.
Coca-Cola or something. credit to them for responding to the double birds without throwing stuff at him. Several little props for that.
But if they did, like, don't you think the Alabama people would be like, yeah, that's what he gets?
You might be right, maybe. I do think talking trash and the double birds right to your face is a little bit different. And it'd probably be tough to feel bad for Rashawn Golden at that point, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't throw beer at a player, but I get it. I kind of understand it.
Well, you're talking about it just from a different angle. You just wouldn't waste the beer.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, especially if you pay that kind of money for a beer. But I don't know, if you pay that kind of money for a beer, maybe you should be able to do what you want with it.
I've always wondered about these stadium bands. How the hell do they know?
The fan will be sent a letter of disinvite.
Yeah, like basically banning him from the stadium. But how do they know? Like, no one ever checks my ID when I go into the stadium.
They're not going to know.
Stadium.
They're not going to know. I mean, the guy goes and buys a ticket off StubHub. Like, I don't know. Is there some way they could make it to, like, where if you bought tickets from their organization, like, it triggers a name in the system or something? Like,
yeah, sure, but I never go to the game by myself.
Right, like if somebody buys you a ticket and you just pay them.
Me and you go to the game and I'm like, hey, Cody, you have to buy them off StubHub because, well, remember that one time I threw that beer in that guy's face? Well, I can't do it anymore.
Right, it's not like they check your ID going into the game. So
yeah, I've always wondered about that, like, because you always see these people getting banned from stadiums.
Yeah, they still go to the game.
How do they know?
They don't know. There's just no way you could know. But, yeah, this guy will be charged with disorderly conduct and throwing an object at a sporting event. Apparently that's a charge. So, yeah, definitely should never do that. The Seahawks owner and Trailblazers owner Paul Allen died yesterday. He was battling cancer. He died at 65. Paul Allen, of course, also the co-founder of Microsoft. To sports fans, he was a benevolent owner of three pro sports franchises in the Pacific Northwest, the Seahawks, the Trailblazers, and was also a part owner of the MLS team, the Seattle Sounders Football Club. I didn't know that. Died Monday of complications from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he had just announced 2 weeks ago it had resurfaced after he was successfully treated in 2009.
Yeah. A lot of people have talked fondly of Paul Allen. A lot of people had a lot of good things to say about him. I can't keep my composure because as you're reading that, and I feel bad for the people in Periscope, like, why the hell is John laughing as they're talking about this guy dying?
Oh, I didn't even see you laughing, huh?
President Trump just called Stormy Daniels horse face on Twitter.
Okay.
He puts in quotes, federal judge throws out Stormy Daniels' lawsuit versus Trump. Trump is entitled to full legal fees, end quote, at Fox News. Great, now I can go after Horseface and her third-rate lawyer in the great state of Texas. She will confirm the letter she signed. She knows nothing about me, a total con. So that's good. We got the president.
A total what?
Con.
Oh. Wow. Good Lord. Oh, man.
We got the president calling... on someone horse face on the internet.
Welcome to 2018.
What a time to be alive.
What a time. Oh, man. Josh Allen, well, rest in peace, Paul. Josh Allen will not play against the Colts because of an elbow injury. He will not start on Sunday. There is concern he will miss several weeks, according to ESPN's Diana Rossini. He was injured in Sunday's loss to the Texans. Step right up, Nathan Peterman.
Actually, no.
No?
I don't know if Peterman is going to start. They signed veteran Derek Anderson.
Well, they need to sign somebody.
And apparently there is a report I saw said that there is a potential locker room mutiny if they throw Nathan Peterman back out there.
As there should be.
Basically like... the veterans in that locker room are like, we're not going out there again to play with Nathan Peterman. Like it. Remember Vontae Davis? He just retired at halftime.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
We're not going back out there. Nope. Give the veteran a shot.
Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa participated fully in practice yesterday. We've been reporting on his aggravated sprained right knee during the win over Missouri this past weekend. Well, we haven't been reporting on it, but we've been reading things that people have said about it. During an interview with ESPN's SVP last night on SportsCenter, Tua said his knee is fine and he is doing much better. I'm fine. I practiced today, yesterday. I'm a lot better than I was last week after the Arkansas game. Talked about how the injury looked bad on the field. He just kind of retweaked it, got some treatment, and he's much, much better. So that's good. Tua will come into Neyland Stadium at full strength Saturday. Just what the Tide needs.
Do you have any level of expectations for this game against Alabama?
Covering would be cool.
Like, is that the expectation, just cover? I'm sure if Tua now healthy, that line might sprinkle back up around above 30, I guess. It opened at 28.5, and that was kind of when you thought Jalen Hurts was going to maybe play. So if Tua is 100% healthy, does that go back up to 30, 31? Like, is that the expectation, just cover?
Yeah, I mean, this is a trap game. Look, like, we're going to be looking ahead to South Carolina. This is a total trap game. So if we get beat down, I could see it happening, and I understand it because we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead. We got five big games coming up after this one. It's hard to get up for a game like this.
Coming off the emotional high of, mm-hmm. Of beating Auburn.
Yeah, and looking ahead to South Carolina.
Yeah.
That's my excuse. But yeah, if we cover,
that, you know, your linebacker Batuli is suspended for the first half, and your other stud Kongbo, you know, you suffered a torn ACL, so like you're trying to put in two new starters on defense. Like, I mean, it's a really tough situation for Tennessee. Schedule's not doing them any favors.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think we might cover. That's my initial thought. Maybe.
Do you think Pruitt knows Alabama's offense? Do you think Alabama knows Pruitt's defense? Or do you think it just doesn't matter, that there's nothing schematically you can really do?
When you don't have the horses that they do and nobody does, I think it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Like, even if you try, if you know some ways to out-scheme them, or, and Pruitt, you know, maybe he can call some things on the fly that make us look a little better. It's just
– well, plus this is the toughest – you know, this is a completely different offense. Alabama's offense this year is completely different than it was last year.
They can do everything.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes this offense so good. They can do everything with their offense.
They might be the greatest collection of talent in college football history.
Like, their multiple sets that they can do in that offense, it's ridiculous. They can go out of the gun. They could go pistol if they wanted to. They can bring guys in motion. Two tight ends, two backs, like whatever option, they can do anything. It's going to be tough to prepare for. You think we'll score over 14 points?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said that pretty confidently.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe, I mean, 14 or more. Maybe not over 14, because then you have to score three times. But I think you can score two touchdowns.
Can we keep them?
I mean, Arkansas scored 30. Like, Alabama's defense hasn't necessarily been suffocating this year because their offense is just so good. Like, I still think Alabama's defense can ramp it up when need be. Like, it, you know, when it comes to tough games, I think the defense will still be good. But I do think they score so quickly, you have so many possessions that, yeah, you could score 14. Right? I mean, is that not accurate? Like, I feel like if Alabama wanted to grind the game out and play slow paced and keep you from scoring 14,
they could.
Probably could. But I think that just with game flow and how many possessions you get, and just, you know, it's kind of a fast break offense, Phoenix Suns, 7 seconds or less of, yeah, we'll give you two and then we'll get the ball out of the net and come down and get three type of thing.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, you can't keep up with our horses. They don't really focus on the defensive end. So I think Tennessee will be able to score 14. I'd probably say Tennessee could score up to 20 or 21. Especially if Raekwon Davis is suspended. Although I guess he isn't going to be. They said he's just getting disciplined internally, correct?
Yeah. I don't think we'll cover. I feel kind of foolish saying we'll cover.
Well, Missouri covered. On the road, same spread.
Did they? 28.5?
Actually, they didn't cover. They lost by 29.
Arkansas.
The spread right now is 29.
The thing is, like, Arkansas covered, but that game was 58-17. Like, they gave them two scores.
The cover, like, Alabama's given up a couple back doors because their defense does. You know, in the past, Alabama's defense wouldn't even give you the last touchdown at the end of the game, right? Like, they would specialize in turning you over and just never leaving the back door open for the cover. This year, they've been a little susceptible to that.
We're not going to cover.
I mean, I wouldn't bet on it.
I'm tired of calling Saban daddy.
Call him grandpa then.
He's getting old. Today is National Boss Day. So shout out to Nate. The 49ers-Packers game was up 38% year over year, according to ESPN's Monday Night Football ratings. Last night's Monday Night Football game earned an 8.4 overnight rating, according to Nielsen, based on the metered markets. This is an increase of 38% versus last year's Colts-Titans game.
Well, yeah. Okay, there you go. Jacoby Brissett versus the Titans.
Monday Night Football's best year-over-year increase of the season.
Well, Aaron Rodgers... tight fourth quarter.
San Francisco, top 10 market.
I would rather watch that than the Colts-Titans. Yeah. I mean, not me, because I'm a Titans fan, but me someone with half a damn brain.
Yeah, this one's pretty obvious. I don't even know why that's a...
Speaking of Monday Night Football, next week's matchup, the Falcons-Giants, 1-5 versus 2-4. Speaking of National Boss Day, New York Giants owner John Mara on Odell Beckham. I think he needs to do a little more playing and a little less talking. Ooh. Because that's why they stink, because Odell's talking.
A-Rod and J-Lo ran over a paparazzi driver.
Wait, what?
He filed a police report. They ran over him in their car.
Who did?
A-Rod and J-Lo.
Ran over a...
No, I'm reading this wrong. A-Rod and J-Lo's driver hit a paparazzi in his car.
Were they in the car?
Yeah, it says they were in the middle. It was an Escalade. And A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez were caught up in the middle. But it seems pretty clear that the blame lies with the paparazzi. He was in the way. Although he has filed a report.
All right. Good deal.
Deputies will investigate hit and run.
Fantastic. All right, send us a break, Ben. Back on the program. Cody, I got a question.
And I've got an answer.
Okay, I'm looking at your NFL MySpace top 8.
Okay.
Rams, Patriots, Chiefs, Saints, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Dolphins.
I mean, we could just cut it off at 5 if you
want. And I'm curious, why are the Bengals ahead of the Steelers?
I mean, just based on resume and what they've done to this point. Like
seeing how Pittsburgh went in into Cincinnati and beat Cincinnati. I'm curious why the Steelers aren't ahead of the Bengals.
Hang on, calm down. Let me look. But did I put the Bengals ahead of? Yeah, I did. I mean, you got to look at the whole schedule.
Uh huh.
You got to look at through 6 weeks. It's not just a one game schedule.
Yeah,
I think we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ravens beat the Bengals, so that makes sense.
The Bengals beat the Ravens.
Beat the Ravens, didn't they?
Curious why the Bengals are Jesus also Christ. Behind the Ravens.
Yeah, boy, I really botched that one, didn't I? Well, you look at the full slate. I mean, something the Bengals and Steelers didn't do is they didn't shut out the Titans. And so, Ravens at 5, they beat the Bills 47-3.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see the Bengals or the Steelers do that, so... I clarified on the list that 5 through 8 is a total crapshoot.
To be quite honest, I don't disagree with your rankings that the Ravens are better than the Bengals and the Bengals are better than the Steelers. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I was just curious because, when we get to the Patriots and Chiefs, you just keep holding on to that 3-point win at home.
It's not that,
whereas
it's
the,
not that simple.
The Bengals lost to the Steelers just this week as well by a touchdown.
I told you last week it's different with the Patriots.
Okay.
And I give the Patriots benefit of the doubt.
I was just looking.
It's my ranking. I do it how I want.
I am not arguing with it being your rankings. It is your MySpace top 8.
Admittedly, the Dolphins at 8 also looks really stupid. But I didn't know who to put. I'm not putting the Chargers there. The Bears? I mean, the Dolphins just beat the Bears, so... I don't know. You get to this point in the season, you get like 27 two-loss teams. I mean, I don't know what to do.
I understand your
dilemma.
Issue.
Yeah, it's major.
Like I said, it's more so about your reasoning for the Patriots over the Chiefs, the whole one-game just beat thing as you have the Bengals ahead of the Steelers.
This would be one of those.
You've also argued with me all year about the Steelers being better than the Bengals, so like I was just really confused.
I mean, I can feel different right now than I do next week or than I did last week.
Yeah.
We'll see what shakes out. Beauty of the NFL, teams play every Sunday. So we'll see what happens this Sunday, and then when we come back in next Tuesday, the list will probably look different. Like if the Patriots win Sunday, they'll probably be at 1, especially if the Rams lose. So.
Patriots do have a test this week. Patriots do have a test this week as they – head to Chicago. I do think that is probably a bad thing for the Patriots that the Bears lost to the Dolphins, because now the Bears are kind of back to, damn it, we better win this game.
And if the Bears win, I'll move them back into my top eight. This would probably be one of those
weeks. Will they be at 2 for beating the Patriots? Will they get the Patriots spot?
No, but they probably bump the Dolphins at 8.
Oh.
Even though they just lost to the Dolphins. This is probably one of those weeks where, like, if I was actually on MySpace, I would reduce my top 8 friends to just top 4 for now.
You should have done that.
Yeah. And then, because, you know, you can do that.
Yeah. You go to, like, top 32 by the end of it, I'm pretty
sure. Right, right. So, yeah, this week I might just have, like, a top 4 friends. And I feel good about my top 4. I think we're all in agreement that Rams, Patriots, Chiefs, Saints are the 4 best teams right now.
We are not all in agreement with that.
I mean, all of us, as in, like, 95% of people who watch the NFL. All of us but you.
I feel like I watch a lot of NFL. I feel like I consume a lot of NFL, and I don't still think the Patriots right now are the 4th best team. I don't.
But you know that come time for the playoffs, it's going to be different. You know it. You've seen it too many times. It's like Alabama.
I think that the Patriots deserve a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I do think that, but I also think that you have a stronger AFC than usual. Last year, who was the number 2 seed? Pittsburgh? No one thought Pittsburgh was any good. No one thought Pittsburgh could actually. Pittsburgh goes to New England all the time, and Pittsburgh loses to New England, right? Pittsburgh can't beat New England.
Yeah, but you remember last year when the Chiefs routed the Patriots in Foxborough week 1 and then went 5-0, we all thought that the Chiefs were – we thought the same thing about them last year that we think this year.
No, we didn't because you still had Alex Smith and you knew that Alex Smith wasn't going to beat you because Alex Smith is the most conservative quarterback in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, look, if Alex Smith last year had gone in there and thrown 2 interceptions in the first half, you wouldn't have seen Alex Smith do anything in the second half. What you saw from Patrick Mahomes was, I made 2 mistakes, I'm going to keep slinging. And he kept throwing the ball down the field, and the Chiefs outscored them, what was it, 31 to 15 or something like that in the second half?
Yes. But the point is, like, it's still early, and the Chiefs still, like, the Chiefs could lose 3 of their next 5 games, and if that happens, we'll change our opinions. And we'll change our narrative. It's just, there's just too much ball left to be played.
31-19 was the second half score.
Yeah, I know they look good now.
Like, that doesn't happen last year with the Chiefs. I don't think anyone thinks of this 5-1 Chiefs as the same as last year's 5-1 Chiefs, right? I mean, I know I don't, but, like, do you? You think this is the same type of offense?
No,
now, granted, last year they had a better defense. Although I do think the help is on the way with, you know, Houston and Barry, if they can get that sorted out.
I don't think it's the same, but I think there's still plenty of room for the Chiefs to slip up a couple times and for us to change our opinion on them.
Are you still thinking the Patriots get the 1 seed? Because I think if the AFC does not go through New England, it's a different story this year.
I mean, the Chiefs' next 5 games, they got to play the Bengals, they got to play the Browns on the road, the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Rams. If they drop 2 of those, do we feel different about the Chiefs?
If they drop 2 of those, they'll be 7-3, 8-3. If they drop 2 of them.
Yeah, do we feel any different about the Chiefs? I mean,
I will not be as sold on them if they drop 2 of those. Although with the Rams, there's 1.
I mean, like, I think
if they lose to the Rams in another close game, like, I don't think that will be an indictment on them. And then who are the other games?
Bengals.
Bengals at home. They should win that game, although I do think the Bengals can score on the Chiefs.
Broncos at home at
Browns.
I think
the Broncos stink. And Andy Reid does not lose division games. They've won, like, 18 in a row. So, no, I don't think they're going to lose. Or 18 of their last 19. They lost to Oakland last year. Outside of that, he doesn't lose to his division. So, no, they're not going to lose at Denver.
At Cleveland, November 4th. And then Cardinals.
So. Maybe. Like, I think everyone's got the kind of water thrown on them in terms of the Baker Mayfield hype. Like, I think we thought Baker Mayfield was really good, going to submit himself as the best quarterback of that draft, and I don't think he's even close to Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
But sure, like, yeah, I mean, if they're 8-3 after 11, that would probably be a little bit disappointing seeing how they're 5-1 now. But, I mean, when the Rams are on that schedule and it's in Mexico City, like, that game's kind of a measuring stick test.
I will say this for the Chiefs. you look at the toughest games they have left, and I mean the entire schedule. Bengals, Rams, Ravens, Chargers, all at home.
Yeah.
Like, their road games are at the Raiders, at the Browns. I mean, God, they've only got two more road games.
Well, their schedule's been pretty tough so far this year. Like, they went, like I said, they went to the Chargers, they went to Pittsburgh, they went to New England. Like, they've played a pretty damn good schedule so far. I mean, I know the 49ers, you know, you sandwich them in there, they beat the 49ers.
The Chiefs only have three more road games, and it's at the Browns, at the Raiders, and at the Seahawks. So
at Browns, at Raiders, at Seahawks, I mean, that should be 2-1.
So maybe the Chiefs get the one seed.
And I think if the Chiefs get the one seed, that New England would be, I don't want to say in trouble, because, I mean, I think they're a team who can go on the road, but I think it's a lot better for the Chiefs to be at home. Because, I mean, like, it's felt like a death sentence for the last 10 years to have to go to New England in the playoffs. And I know Flacco's gone up there and won a couple games, or won at least one game, and he's won two games, should have won a third one if Lee Evans can hold on to a ball. Like, they've been pretty tough to beat at home, though. And I know Sanchez went to do it, but I know the Steelers can't, and I don't think the Chiefs can. I think the Ravens could.
The Patriots having to go to Arrowhead would be very difficult in the playoffs.
So when we're looking at the Patriots, like, do I think that they're still going to be good on offense? Yes. Do I think they're going to fix the defense? I don't know. I don't know how you fix not being fast enough. Like, when you go up against Kansas City, they're not fast enough.
I feel like we felt this way last year about the Patriots defense. Like, that they weren't very good, and then they just got better and better. Like,
I mean, they weren't very good, though, when it came in the playoffs, though. Like, Jacksonville should have beaten them. If the ref makes the right call on the Miles Jack fumble, and he gets to get up and score a touchdown, it's like a 17-point game in the fourth quarter, and the game's over. And then, of course, you saw the Eagles just have their way with them. Like, the defense wasn't good enough. It was good enough to beat the Titans in round two. Sure. It was good enough to beat the Titans.
I am surprised they lost a Super Bowl to Nick Foles.
And, I mean, they got outplayed for 55 minutes by the Jaguars. The Jaguars completely collapsed. Those and like teams, I said, that fumble that Miles Jack had on the strip, I want to say of Amendola, whatever receiver it was that got stripped, Miles Jack was not touched, should have gotten up and gotten the touchdown. They ruled him down, and, you know, they didn't end up scoring on that drive.
I guess the difference to me, the way I'm looking at it, is you're right about that, but both of those teams did have good defenses, Jacksonville and then the Eagles,
sure,
that D-line. The Chiefs right now don't have that, and if you get in a duel with Mahomes and Tom Brady, I'm just taking Tom Brady. Like, we saw 43-40 the other night. And I think that if that happens again, now, you know, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, they come back, things could change.
Well, that's what I'm betting on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm betting on, is that there is help coming for Kansas City in terms of Houston and Berry, who are both all-pro type of players. And now, granted, you know, injured, they might not be up to speed and be as good, but they'll be better than what they have.
I think the main thing I'm looking at right now in the NFL is there's not a lot of great defenses.
Oh, there's not. Like,
the best teams are scoring teams, like the Rams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, and I think I'm just giving Tom Brady and Belichick the benefit of the doubt, and I think that's what it comes down to for me.
I mean, it's fine. You're going with the, hey, prove it to me defense. Like, I'm not going to pick you to lose,
like, if
until
the playoffs,
you lose type of thing.
If the playoffs come down to a bunch of shootouts, like, even if that's in the AFC Championship and then in the Super Bowl, I think I'm just sticking with the Patriots is what it is.
Now, what will benefit the Patriots, especially if you're just looking at a matchup with the Chiefs, is that we don't know how Mahomes plays in the cold, right?
Right.
And in January, it's going to be cold, and whether it's in Kansas City, which, by the way, was freezing last year whenever I went there for the Titans game, or in Foxborough, it's going to be cold in January. So, like, can Mahomes in this offense still be high-flying and running all over the place in the freezing cold? We know the Patriots can. We know the Patriots can do it. They do it every year. But I do think, just overall, the AFC is deeper than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we look at two teams. We look at the Patriots, we look at the Steelers, and then we all kind of try to talk ourselves into the Chiefs as a third team. You know, last year, Jacksonville. But this year, I really do think there are five teams. And if the Titans or Jaguars sort of figure their stuff out, I would say they could go and win some games. I would say there were six or seven capable playoff teams.
Maybe the Ravens are that one team that could play defense good enough on a certain night.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Is, A, you have the Flacco. Flacco in the playoffs is a thing, and, like, this is the best group of receivers Flacco's had. Like, I do think, you know, Willie Snead was effective. Michael Crabtree is talented. And John Brown can take the top off the defense. And they just got their first-round pick, Hayden Hurst, back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't have any catches against the Titans, but he's on the field. So, like, if you add a tight end to this, the Ravens maybe have the offense to match a defense that, while everyone's scoring record points, they ain't scoring them against the Ravens. The Ravens have given up 13 points a game. I want to say 12.6 points per game is the actual number. Under 13 points a game.
They haven't given up a touchdown in the last 2 weeks.
They've given up 12 points total in 12 second-half quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They've played 12 quarters of second-half football, and they've given up 12 points. So, like, as everyone is not playing defense, the Ravens might be playing defense better than anyone's ever played it, all things considered.
I wonder what the Ravens' Super Bowl odds are right now. Did you have anything in on the Ravens?
I did not. I wish I did. And they have a big test this week. Like, I think, you know, you shut out the Titans 21-0. And no one really bats an eye. It's more of a let's laugh at the Titans. But they got the Saints coming into town this weekend.
If they shut down Breeze.
And Breeze, you know, Breeze outdoors is one thing. But you hold that high-flying Saints team to 24 points or less and you win. I mean, I think you just kind of start getting that respect.
It is kind of interesting when you think about the NFL the last few years. I mean, we always talk about the great quarterbacks. But last year's Eagles team. That Broncos team with Peyton, back to the Seahawks, even like the teams that have won Super Bowls with great defenses, and you look at the Ravens playing the way that they are right now, and all we've talked about all year is how great the offenses are in the NFL right now. I mean, maybe the Ravens on a flyer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because last year at the end of the year, the Eagles defense, which is crazy to say, because they got absolutely gutted by Tom Brady in the playoffs, but the Eagles defense got them to the Super Bowl and made the play, I guess, strip Brady at the end of the game to win that game. Like, it was just a shootout, but the Eagles defense did carry them to the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
They shut down the Vikings. They held the Falcons to what, like 12 points in that game, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think when it gets colder, that's why you kind of maybe pump the brakes on the Chiefs a little bit. It's like that high-flying offense is fun in games until it's 3 degrees outside.
I'm excited to see how the playoffs shape up, you know, which I know it's a long way until the playoffs. But, like, if we get Ravens-Chiefs or Ravens-Patriots, Ravens defense, man, it is, you know.
I feel like the AFC is much more wide open than the NFC. Like, right now, like, it feels like it's the Rams.
Which is
everyone else.
Yeah, and it didn't feel that way at the start of the year. At the start of the year, we thought the AFC was just kind of the Patriots and then maybe like Steelers, Chiefs, but the NFC seemed deeper at the start of the year.
Yeah, and right now it just seems like the Rams and maybe the Saints. Maybe the Saints are good. Maybe the Eagles get back. I don't know, but right now it just seems like it's the Rams and everyone else. I mean, do you trust the Bears? No, no offense. Do you trust the Redskins? No. Alex Smith?
No, yeah. The East is horrible.
I mean, the Panthers, maybe. The Packers, maybe. The Vikings can get back.
I'd love to see the Packers just go on a huge run.
And their team's not good enough.
I know.
It's not good enough.
I just want it.
All right, let's catch a break. Come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Davey Hutt.
Some fairly big breaking news.
What's going on?
Fairly big breaking news coming out of the college football world. Projected number one pick, Nick Bosa, that's Joey's brother, reportedly done at Ohio State. Just like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to get ready for the NFL.
Done.
Finito.
He'll never play again.
Well, at Ohio State.
Wow.
Is he not hurt? Like, is he just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to train?
I mean, he's been banged up.
Yeah.
But, like, he was expected back, like, around now, a couple weeks from now. Would be back, you know, for the Michigan game. Would be back for the playoff, the bowl, you know, potential national championship.
Not anymore.
He said, no. I'm just going to get ready for the NFL. Are we going to get the Nick Bosa selfish takes? I mean, because people are killing Leonard Fournette, killing Christian McCaffrey for skipping bowl games. Like, meaningless, like, the Sun Bowl, I believe is what Christian McCaffrey said out of. Like, literally, the Sun Bowl. Mm-hmm. A bowl that no one gives a damn about. Nick Bosa.
Butch Jones would.
We don't mention his name on the show. We had a funeral. Nick Bosa has a chance to make Ohio State's defense even better, and Ohio State has a legitimate, very legitimate shot of reaching the national championship and maybe winning the national championship.
Maybe.
But instead, he said, nope, time to get paid.
I mean, I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit.
Does it? So it doesn't change for you when it comes to championships?
Mm-mm.
Because I'm all in, don't give a damn about bowl games. Like, skip the bowl games if you want.
I mean, I never cared that Leonard Fournette missed or that McCaffrey missed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, bowl games are different, in my opinion. Or bowl games are 100% excusable. I'm asking. I don't know how I feel about this because my initial reaction is, yeah, I mean, duh. Potential $100 million? Yeah, let's focus on getting that money. Be the number one pick. You're going to make, what, $8 million this year or something like that?
Yeah, you got to do what's best for you.
I do wonder, though, like, you know, a football mentality is, hey, we're brothers. Hey, yeah, we're a team.
That's all fine and dandy, but none of those guys are going to be playing with you in the NFL. He's thinking about his NFL teammates.
No. He doesn't know who.
That should be the defense.
He doesn't know who his NFL teammates are. He's thinking about time to get paid.
That should be the defense.
But unfortunately for Nick, like, he can't even point to, like, hey, I got a family to take care of. Parents, Joey's already taking care of them, and I don't think they needed the help. So, like, he doesn't even get to say, hey, I'm trying to get my family, I'm trying to get my family in a better situation. Single mom struggling. I'm trying to get her money. Hey, I got these daughters I got to take care of. I mean, maybe Nick Bosa's got kids that I don't know about. Maybe.
He could probably still argue something like that. You know, like, maybe, like, my parents are tired of watching Chargers games. So I need to get to the NFL in a hurry and get on a good team so that my parents can watch me play.
Yeah, they're going to love those Buffalo Bills games. They're going to love those Buffalo Bills games.
Is he going to go that high? Where will he?
He's projected number one.
Oh, is he? Okay, well.
So, I mean, he might not make it to the Bills. He might end up in Indianapolis. I mean, that would be terrible for the Titans, but, I mean, like, hey.
See, I would hate to be the number one pick. Well, no, you get paid more that way. But, I don't know, at a certain point, it's like you got to play for such bad teams.
I mean, who are the last teams in the NFL right now?
The Bills.
The Bills have two wins, so I don't think they're the last. He might be in Oakland.
Falcons.
That'd be kind of, I mean, he might end up in Oakland. They have one win, and they're desperate for a pass rusher. So, hey, maybe that makes the most sense of Oakland just completely tanks and tries to get Bosa. Maybe that's it.
Niners have a win.
Giants. I guess some of those teams, like, I'd like to go play for the Giants.
I mean, Giants and Colts are franchises you can go for. Like, I mean, the Colts.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be terrible for long, especially if they get help on the defensive line.
You'd hate to get drafted.
The Raiders moving to Las Vegas in a year or two. The 49ers isn't, you know, you could just kind of say, eh, get the quarterback back and, you know, we'll be okay. Although the 49ers, can they do another first-round pick on the line? The whole Solomon Thomas thing hasn't seemed to really work out in a pretty stacked draft. And Arizona, the Cardinals, now you could do worse than Phoenix. So, yeah, maybe he'll stay out of Buffalo. Maybe he'll be able to stay out of Buffalo. Does it change, though, when you're going for a championship? 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in on the McKinney Team Hotline. Travis will be here with us tomorrow to reveal the winner of the Alabama tickets. We'll do our buy or sell. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com. Travis is actually, I think, about to help my girlfriend and I purchase some land. I think we're about to close a deal there. So, I'm, you know,
oh,
money where mouth is, all that stuff. We used the McKinney team. You should, too, if you're buying or selling your home. ZillowKnoxville.com for more information if you want to get in touch with them.
Where are you buying land?
I don't want to jinx it yet. I guess I kind of did, but I'll let you know. I'll show you the pictures. I got pictures. We went by there yesterday.
Is it out of town or?
It's in town. I mean, it's out of Knox. I mean, it's like 15 minutes from here.
Okay.
It's like 15 minutes from here. It's not far.
Gonna have some cows there?
No. Just build a house.
Oh. I didn't know what kind of land
I got talking about. I understand. I didn't think it was a dumb question. But I was just saying, you know, believe in what we sell you. I believed in the McKinney team. You should too. ZillowKnoxville.com. I do wonder, though, like how people feel because team first always, right? Like that's kind of the mentality of football players.
Yeah, it's overrated.
What if Tua did it?
Go for it. Do it this week if you can.
I would love if Alabama fans had to, if Tua just looked next year and was like, you know what? Nah, I've got enough on film. I'm the number one pick. I'm the best quarterback in next year's draft already. I don't even know who else is in there. It's me. I'm good.
Kind of hope Tua ends up with the Giants.
Yeah, me too.
Need the Giants to be good again.
Although I don't feel like they can wait a whole year to take a quarterback. I feel like they have to take Justin Herbert. Like, I think Tua would be great in New York, but I feel like they have to take Herbert this year, right? Like, if you're looking at all these teams at the top, everyone kind of has their quarterback except Denver. So maybe Denver tries to bottom out and get the quarterback. By the way, how big of a tease was it that Chad Kelly came in just to quarterback kneel? And the crowd erupts. They're so happy he came in, and all he did was knee down in the first half, and then Case Keenum came back out.
They want him, man. Broncos fans want Chad
Kelly.
It's just
a matter of time.
It's inevitable.
I feel like that was one of the calls that I got dead on. I thought the Broncos were going to be awful this year. They threw me off their scent a little bit by going 2-0 the first 2 weeks, and then, yeah, they've lost 4 in a row and they're trash.
Yeah. It's going to happen. He's going to be there.
It's coming. I'd say 2 more games.
Yeah.
2 more games.
I'm excited for it. I hope he just totally rejuvenates everything.
But, I mean, like, you know, the Giants, the Colts. The Colts don't need a quarterback. The Raiders probably do need a quarterback. They're not going to take anyone over Carr. The 49ers got Garoppolo. Cardinals got Rosen. Bills got Allen. Falcons have Ryan. Like, those are your bottom teams outside of Denver and the Giants. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like quarterback situation probably is going to be Justin Herbert to the Giants.
Do you have to take Justin Herbert, though? Like,
I mean, I feel like he's the number one pick. I feel like he's the number one quarterback prospect. I mean,
could you not build with some linemen? Like, get you a couple of big tackles?
Who, the Giants?
Yeah.
You want to keep running Eli out there? What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, until you can get Tua.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, maybe like if you're running the long con, that's like the NBA model. And I still, you know, hour three, I guess, is going to have to turn into our NBA preview because we haven't talked about it yet. But, I mean, that's like the 76ers model is just keep getting good players. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't matter about need, doesn't matter about being competitive now, just keep stockpiling right. Good players.
Right.
And the NFL is a little bit tougher, though, because veterans have 8 years. Like, Odell Beckham has probably 3 more years of being elite.
Yeah, but if you don't get some linemen in there, then no matter who you bring, even if you bring in – you can bring in Herbert or Tua. Like, you can bring in Herbert. You're not gonna be any better off next year than you are now.
Well, this year they'd probably be better off if they had just gone with the Sam Darnold.
Oh yeah,
Kerryon Johnson package, right?
They would have.
Like,
the
Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's great, but they probably would be better off had they just gone with the, hey, we're going with the quarterback one, and we'll take a running back in the second or third round. I don't know, maybe even trade up for Sonny Michel. Yeah. I know Darius Geis got hurt, but, you know, he would have been there. And, like, I know Barkley's great, but I don't know if he's going to be that much better than these other running backs. So, like, next year is sort of a similar philosophy. Like, I feel like they'll be better with Herbert and best offensive lineman available in the second round than they would be with best offensive lineman Eli Manning type of thing.
Not me. I think you build up with really good offensive lineman, then you go get Tua.
I know, but you have to tank again. Like, tanking
tanking
is not fun in the NFL. It's not like basketball where you could just throw out the young guys out there and let them get run, and they'll just find a way to lose themselves. Like, in football, when you tank, you go 1-15, 2-14, and people get hurt. And your veterans just, you completely gut the nucleus of your team. Like, whatever building blocks you have are going to be old and decrepit. Like, picture 2 years from now what type of shape Landon Collins might be in. Or Odell Beckham. Or what Saquon Barkley is going to be like, you know, on a team that's awful. Like, I just feel like you ruin your assets. And then you're faced with, is Tua going to be ready as a rookie? Like, he might be. Maybe Tua's that great where, like, as a rookie, they're ready to go. Or you might be looking, okay, he's going to take 2 years to be ready. And then you're, you know, 5 years removed. And your skill players that you're trying to build around, including Saquon Barkley, not as good.
Well, to me, though, the flip side is you might just be middle of the pack at best throughout Barkley's entire career if you don't get him some more weapons on offense. Hey, maybe Justin Herbert's good enough. I don't know. I mean,
they really probably should have just taken Darnold.
Yeah, that would have been.
Or at least, like, somebody besides Ted. Maybe somebody besides Eli. Maybe they should have went after Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe they should have tried to get Tyrod Taylor. I don't know.
I don't know why they were still trying to cash it. Like,
they wanted to give the respect to Eli, man. They thought Eli deserved the respect for winning a Super Bowl, and they hitched their wagon to the wrong horse.
You gotta build for the future. Stop living in the past.
This Nick Bosa stuff's kind of wild to me. This is a college player taking back some control and is like, nope, I'm good. Thanks for the scholarship. Thanks for that year of education for free, baby. I ain't playing.
Did he graduate?
I don't know. He's not worried about it. He's the number one pick.
Yeah, who cares?
He's not worried about his degree. I can get that 2 years from now.
Go get my football degree.
I can get that in the summer. I'm good. I'll get that after football. I'm going to get this money. That's what I'm going to get. As Daniel points out, wondering if anybody else is going to follow after him.
I mean, I just don't see any way you can blame a guy for with that kind of money on the table. Like, well, what about your teammates? Well, I mean, look at the culture at Ohio State anyway. You know what I mean? Like, what teammates do you even
Jared Garantano has been named the Maxwell Award National Player of the Week.
Yeah.
National Player of the Week. How about that? Big time win.
Boy, he was good Saturday, wasn't he?
National Player of the Week.
Hell, throw him in the Heisman race.
Maybe he'll sit out next year and just go pro. I don't know. I guess he won't have to.
I mean, if he gets really hot these last five games.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Headlines, pump the brakes, keep rolling, NBA preview. Gave you 2 hours of football. Give you a little bit more in headlines, I'm sure.
It was fun while it lasted.
Oh, come on. Don't be like that. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. 245.